According to Luke chapter 11, the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, Luke's Gospel 11 verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to thee, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. And a well-known verse, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now back to Luke's Gospel again and chapter 13 this time. Chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel. And we'll read from verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, I hope God will give help. This is the only thing I can get rest on for the meeting tonight. We have read about 3 distinct knocks. In Luke chapter 11, the knock of intercession, Christian responsibility, the saints of God knocking at God's heart door on behalf of unsaved sinners. In Revelation 3, we have the knock of opportunity. And in Luke chapter 13, where we read, we have the knock of despair. Lord, Lord, open unto us. Or in other words, if you want it this way, the saints knock, and the saviors knock, and the sinners knock. You'll notice in chapter 11 we have 3 friends mentioned. The rich friend represents God, and the poor friend represents the sinner, and the interceding friend represents the Christian. Now you'll notice the poor friend didn't know the rich friend, but the interceding friend did. So he intercedes on behalf of the poor friend who is a type of a sinner. And notice it said there, he was on a journey. I hope I can emphasize upon every person in this hall tonight that we're travelers to eternity. And your destination is either heaven or hell forever. 100 years from tonight, and every one of us will have crossed the line, and our destiny is either going to be with Christ in glory or in hell forever. Now, we hope we've made that clear. There's one thing about the gospel. There's no middle path, and there's no middle place, and there's no middle choice. You're either saved or lost, believer or unbeliever, godly or ungodly, condemned or not condemned. And possibly there's somebody in this hall tonight, and you have an interceding prayer. My, what a privilege. You're highly honored. You're highly privileged if you have a person in this auditorium tonight interceding for you. Maybe somebody sitting right beside you. A mother, sister, or brother. And even while the meeting's going on, they're crying to God for your salvation. There's many in this world of ours, and they don't have an interceding friend. They don't have a person, a relative or a friend, that takes any interest in the eternal destiny of their soul. Way back in 1938, Mr. Charles Keller was speaking in the town of Bolton. That's a long time ago. And he told of a woman that attended his meetings in West Virginia. She was a widow, and she had four children. And she came out faithfully to the meeting. And God, in His mercy, came in and saved that dear woman. And she was a bright, noble testimony for the Lord. And she told the family, as she gathered the family around her, she says, "Now that I'm saved, I want to live Christ in this home. And I hope you'll try to help me." And she prayed for those two boys and two girls for 12 years. And finally, she was stricken with a fatal disease. And Mr. Keller said, "When I stood there at the graveside, and we committed that casket into that narrow cell, I couldn't help but think to myself, who will be their interceding friend now? These children will be scattered to the four corners of the earth. And who will be their interceding friend at the throne of grace and crying to God for their salvation?" My, that dear woman hated to leave this world and leave those four children behind. I'll never forget, as long as memory stays with me, when my dear mother, in our home at 205 Margaretta Street, announced to us, four men, a father, three sons, and she announced to us she had got saved. And she says, "From this day forward, by the grace of God, I'm going to live Christ in this home." And she said, "I know that I'm not going to get much help from you four men. But," she said, "I care not how high you get up the ladder or how much success you meet with in life. But," she said, "if you get saved, you get God's salvation, I'll die happy." You know, that never left me. Many a time when I was out with the young men and we were making the rounds of pleasure, I often thought of my mother at home there, crying to God for my salvation. And I hope as this meeting continues, that every believer will be crying to God for God's blessing on our coming together tonight. A gospel meeting is a solemn occasion. It's a time when the Savior draws near, angels linger near, and prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, sinner, come. Why don't you come to Christ tonight? Why don't you get God's salvation? I hope this night will be a night when prayers are going to be answered. And you thank God from the depths of your soul that you have an interceding friend in this gathering tonight that has a real interest in your soul. I was saved at 20 years of age, and I could count on one hand, and I wouldn't need one hand to count the number of people that spoke to me personally about God's salvation, that really put the question right to me, "Frank, are you saved? Are you born again? What about your meeting with God? What about your sin? Where are you going to be when you step off the shore of time and go out into eternity?" There's very few people in this world that really love your soul. Look, my friend, regardless of what you think of us as preachers, and maybe you don't care the snap of the finger whether you're going to be in heaven or hell, well, we do. We may speak plain, but we got a real burning desire and a real compassion to see you saved. I'm sure my brother Pacey will agree, there's nothing that cheers our heart and moves our soul like seeing a person brought to Christ. There's not much in this world that causes a ripple of excitement in heaven. Some people say to me, you worry about the end of the world, Mr. Kersey. I don't bother my head about it. Like my dear brother here, I pray for the Prime Minister of Canada and the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Britain. But look, my friend, regardless of what you think about it or what I think about it, God's purpose is going to be carried out. God knows the end and He knows the beginning and all in between. There's a past, present, and future with us. But with God, it's just one eternal presence. So I pray for those dear men every day. And there's one thing that does cause a mighty stir in heaven. You know what it is? When the news is carried back from our gospel meeting, when the angels carry back the message from our gospel meeting, and the news is flashed down the corridors of that great city above us, because heaven is above us, Jerusalem that is above, and when the news is flashed down the streets of that great city, a sinner has come to Christ, a soul has believed on the Son, all heaven rejoices. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, heaven rejoices, earth rejoices. Wouldn't it be a grand thing at the close of this conference if at the close of this gathering we stood at the back of the hall and we had a time of rejoicing over some soul getting Christ and getting salvation. And I want to tell you this, that's better than winning a lottery ticket. To get God's salvation and to see your soul saved and happy in Christ and go on your way rejoicing with the knowledge of sins forgiven. But I want to tell you this too. It's true that all heaven holds a jubilee when a soul gets saved. But all heaven puts on the robes of mourning when a soul goes down to hell. God says, tell them as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God mourns the hapless loss of a soul that dies without Christ. And I want to be faithful tonight, my dear friend. There is a place where God will not save. And there is a place where not even the blood of Christ will save. And I say that reverently. God never reaches down into hell to save a soul. Once you leave this life, the Bible distinctly says, a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And there's no gospel of the second chance. This is your chance, the first one. And God help you to lay hold upon it. The knock of intercession. Why, we were praying in the room just across the hall there for the salvation of souls in this gathering, and we hope our prayers will be answered. The knock of intercession. The knock of opportunity. Now here in Revelation 3, the interpretation, of course, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's many applications, but there's only one interpretation. That's Christ standing at the door. And hell is too good for the person that rejects such a Savior. Now that's strong language, but I mean it. Think of the untold sorrows and agonies that He went through. We think sometimes the love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree that I, a ransom soul, might be, is more than tongue can tell. And look, my friend, He's ready and willing to save you. Without money, without wit, without price. It's not of work, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Now, the gentle knock, the ordinary means that God uses, is in the gospel. That's the gentle knock of the Savior. And every time you hear in the gospel, it's the Savior knocking at your heart's door. God's ordinary, easy method to get souls to Christ. How many have entered in this way? How many have come to Christ through this beautiful birth? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So every time you hear the gospel, and you reject it, and you close your heart against Christ, why, that's a solemn thing. I sat in gospel meetings as a young man 20 years ago, and I remember on occasion when I was really disturbed, and I was really bothered about my sins, and I was right on the verge of getting to Christ. right on the verge of staying behind and getting God's salvation, but my proud heart would rise up against me, and I'd leave the hall. That's God's ordinary, simple method to the preaching of the gospel. But if that fails, God has to come in sometime with extraordinary means. The jailer, he gets saved in jail. He had put the servants of Christ in prison. And then God sent an earthquake. He shook the prison and he shook the jailer. And that dear man was aroused and awakened. Look, my friend, let me ask you, what means is God going to have to use regarding you to get you to Christ? One dear man, he lost his brother. Still, not a bit of response. God took away his wife, and he finally yielded. He finally came to Christ. I say, my friend, what expense, what a cost. But no matter what it cost you, if you lost every dime, if you lost your family, if you lost your job, if your loss of property was gone, it would be worth it if you got to Christ. Anything is better than hell. Anything is better than hellfire. God's extraordinary need in feeding the soul. And I'm sure there's some in this meeting tonight that experienced that. The greatest thing in your life is the settlement of your soul salvation. That jailer, when God awakened and when God aroused him, he said, "Sir," now that's simply means gentlemen. I'm sure when he put those men in the prison, he didn't use language like that. He used every word that his tongue could lay hold on when he cast those men into prison. But when God awakened him and God aroused him, he said, "Sir, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?" My God, salvation taught that man manners. And it taught him kindness. He took the servants of Christ home and washed their stripes. Taught him hospitality. He set meat before them. What a tremendous change in that dear man's life. A real awakening. And he got a real deliverance. But he thought it was on plan installment to get saved. What must I do to be saved? The greatest question in the world. And it's only an anxious soul, it's only an aroused sinner that ever asked that question. What must I do to be saved? In every human heart, they seem to think there's something they can do to merit God's salvation. The young lawyer said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, my friend, there's nothing you can do. It's all been done. And all you have to do is enter into the good of it. The Lord Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished." My friend, can you rest there? Can you cash in on that? And can you make it good? You're hearing a gentle knock of the Savior in the gospel tonight. And maybe you've heard God's voice in extraordinary means that God has used. But I want to tell you, sometimes even that fails. Sometimes even that comes to an end. What happens then when the extraordinary means fail? Well, God gives them up. Four times in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, we read, God gave them up. There's people walking the streets of Midland. And there's people walking the streets of Toronto, and God has given them up. They've had their day. They've had their opportunity. And they've sealed their heart against Christ. And they'll never hear his voice again until they hear it on that dreadful day when they stand before him at the great white throne judgment. Can I prove that from the Bible? I certainly can. The Lord Jesus spoke about his own city, Capernaum. He lived there, performed his miracles there, preached the gospel there, prayed for Capernaum. What did he say? And when he uttered these words, they were still attending the synagogue, chanting their prayers, going through the ritual, and all the rest of it. And he said, "O thou Capernaum, exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell." God has given them up. Why would it be a sad thing if that was to happen in your life? When God was dealing with me, I remember praying earnestly, "O God, continue to speak to me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. O God, continue to strive with me. And don't send me to hell. I cried to God to preserve me from hell. An awful thing when God gives a person up. We read of one man in the Bible, and was said concerning him, let him alone. He's going to his idol. Saul no longer heard the voice of God through prophet, dream, or vision, or revelation. I don't know of anything in this world more pathetic than to see a God-forsaken man or woman abandoned by God, and God has given them up. Are you going to let the Savior in tonight? The knock of opportunity. There's a wide open door tonight. Why don't you enter in? I am the door, says Christ. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Why don't you enter in? What kind of people enter in? Sinners. If your name is sinner tonight, and sin is your problem and your difficulty, we have good news for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the kind of people that enter in. Why don't you enter in tonight? Again, referring to Mr. Charles Keller, he said there was a outstanding doctor, Dr. Lorenzo, down in Orange, New Jersey. He was a specialist in infantile paralysis. And he heard of a woman who had a child that was afflicted with that. And he was quite interested in it. So he went to the house. He called there, and he knocked. She saw him at the door, but she didn't know him. So she refused to answer the knock. She refused to answer the door. My, that doctor left, and he got a boat leaving America. That was his last call. That was the last opportunity for that woman. When that dear woman realized who was there and who he was, my, she wailed out. And well, she might. She wailed out, why didn't I let him in? Why didn't I let him in? The very person that could have helped her and done something for the child and wanted to and desired to. My friend, that's a simple illustration, but what about you tonight? My, how many times have you shut Christ out of your life? Behold, I stand at the door. I don't know of anything more trying on the patient than to be left standing at a door. How long has Christ stood at your heart's door? 20 years? 25, 30, 35, 40? Look, my friend, like the doctor, he may pass on, never to return. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, if it's a question of the will, if any man hear my voice, and open the door. So you say, how do I do that? Well, I want to tell you, the bolt's on the inside. And you're the only one that can draw aside the bolt and let the Savior in. Well, you say, how do I do that? Just like I did 52 years ago in the city of Toronto, 205 Margaretta Street. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm ungodly every inch of me. I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be punished in hell forever for my sins. That's how you draw aside the bolt. And the moment I did, God flashed those words into my mind, Romans 5 and 6. Christ died for the ungodly, and I remember saying, if he died for the ungodly, he died for me, and I was saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid to say it. That's how you draw aside the hope. How are you going to do it tonight? My, in Luke chapter 13, we have an awesome despair. We read of another door there, the master's door. And when once the master of the house rises up and shuts the door, you say, when's that going to happen? When the Lord comes. My friend, there's nothing to hinder Christ's coming. Not a promise. Nothing to keep back to the Lord's return and the Lord's coming. Mr. Gordon Sinclair, who wasn't too favorable towards the gospel, he made the statement one time on CFRV. He said, things can't go on as they're going. There's going to be a breaking point. There's going to be a deadline. There's going to be a zero hour. And I thought to myself, Mr. Sinclair, you're just declaring what's in the Bible. Yes, my friend, there's going to be a breaking point. And that breaking point is the coming of Christ. When once the master of the house rises up, shuts to the door, then you'll be knocking. So pause and let that sink in. You'll be knocking. Not the Savior, but you'll be knocking.
Notice the cry of these people, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But they're crying, they're pleading, their prayers doesn't change the sentence.
He says, depart from me into everlasting fire.
The very Christ that bid you come tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That same Savior will tell you, in plain language, if you reject his love and his pleading, depart from me into everlasting fire.
But it's all about Savior. I want to remind you tonight that things are not always going to go on the way they're going for you tonight. The tables are going to be turned. And we just have to read the paper. And we're living in momentous times, perilous times. And when you read the paper, you can't help but realize that everything's coming together. Look to the Far East there.
We don't look for signs, but you can't help but look at signs.
And it just seems to be that everything is coming together. And what a sad day it will be when the Master rises up and comes to the door. I've often thought to myself, I wonder what would happen right in the midst of a gospel meeting if the shout was to be given. Just imagine right now, if Christ was to appear to the air and the shout was given, what would happen in this meeting?
Well, there's a number in this auditorium tonight that rise to meet the Lord.
And there's others would be left behind. Who are on the inside? It's the thing he says here. When you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God.
All those that have trusted Christ. All those that have received Christ as Savior. They'll be on the inside. Who will be on the outside?
Those that had the gospel preached in their streets. We've eaten and drunk in thy presence. I suppose even took Holy Communion, took the Lord's Supper, yet on the outside.
My friend, God help you tonight to enter in.
Over in Newfoundland, we went through a lot of opposition. We were talking about it tonight at the supper table. One time in Tyvonier, Mr. Harris went down to the post office. He wanted a letter. It was a very important letter, and it was very vital to us. Post office closed at 6 o'clock, and Mr. Harris was there 2 minutes after 6. Do you think they'd give him that letter? All they had to do was just hand it to him at the door.
They knew it. They hated the gospel, and they hated the preachers of the gospel. Well, I want to tell you, Mr. Harris wasn't the type of man that would lay down and roll over and say dead. You better believe it, he didn't. And I admire him for that.
By the next day when he went into the post office, he said to those men, he says, gentlemen, he says, what I experienced here last night is going to be true of you men. He said, you're just going to be on the outside of the door, and you're going to be about 2 minutes too late.
That's what happened to me last night right here at the post office.
2 minutes too late. And that's what's going to happen to you. You'll be right at the door.
You've heard the gospel here in Carbonier.
We prayed for you. We preached the word of life to you. And he says, you're just going to be outside the door and you're just going to be 2 minutes late. Oh, my friend, God help you tonight.
You enter in.
Because this very night may be the moment when the Master will rise up and shut to the door. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I look forward with happy memories to that blessed event. And thank God I'm ready for it. If the Lord was to come, and when the Lord does come, there's no mention of any particular denomination. It just simply says, they that are Christ, that is coming. Every born-again soul, every soul that has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, will rise to meet him. But, oh friend, what a dreadful thing to be on the outside of that door. Think of Midland. Think of Bobby Keane without a Christian. Can you imagine it? All the saints of God raptured home. Mr. McClure, that I referred to today, he used to say when the dear old lady was deaf and dumb. She could neither hear nor speak. And yet he says that dear woman could describe the coming of the Lord far better than I can preach it. When he went down the walk there, he was leaving her place and he had his grip. And she always had a message. Always had a word for him. Why, he put down the grip there at the gate.
And he was a big giant of a man, and she was a little trip of a woman. And my, she looked at him with her face just beaming. And she put her hands up like this. That was the trumpet. The trumpet was sound. And then she placed her hands on him and on herself, and she went,
"My." Mr. McClure looked down at her and he said, "Amen. Amen. My friend, as sure as I'm behind this desk tonight, that's going to happen. Are you ready for it? God help you. So think of these three knocks that we've spoken on tonight. The knock of intercession. There's believers praying for you. God help you to get saved tonight.
The knock of opportunity. You have a golden opportunity to enter in. But oh, how sad. The knock of despair. Lord, Lord, open unto us. It's too late.